Good morning, everyone. I want to welcome you to New Life Worship Center this morning. Those here in the building with us and those of you viewing by YouTube today, I want to welcome all of you back to New Life Worship Center on this great Father's Day Sunday. We've got a special message for you today. It's entitled, A Man After God's Own Heart. A Man After God's Own Heart. 2 Chronicles 16:9 tells us this, For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. Another translation reads this, For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His. God wants a man after His own heart. He wants a heart that's fully committed to Him, and He wants a heart that is completely His. One that belongs to God first before anything else. I tell young people that are considering marriage that you need to make sure that the person that you're going to marry loves God more than they love you. It's so important that that would be the case. And then in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, we're told this, that God sought out a man after His own heart to appoint as king over His people Israel. God was looking for someone to guide and direct His nation, the nation of Israel, and He wanted someone after His own heart. The Daily Walk devotional adds this, He found what He was looking for in an obscure boy from the pasture lands of Judea. And that boy, obviously, was King David. That's who he became. Chuck Swindoll asked this question, So does that mean that he's perfect? Well, we know David was far from perfect, right? Just like all of us. It does not mean that he was perfect, but having a heart for God doesn't mean that you're perfect. It means you're sensitive. You're sensitive. It means you have a heart that is sensitive to the things of God. It means that you are a person whose life is in harmony with the Lord. And then what is important to God is important to you. What burdens God's heart burdens your heart. And that's the whole point of what we're talking about here this morning. And this is it. When we begin to care about the things that God cares about, we become people after His own heart. I love that. When we begin to care about the things that God cares about, we become people after God's own heart. And so this morning, another devotional, The Daily Walk, lists some qualities in David's character that are found in Psalms 140 through 145. So I want you to turn there with me if you would. Psalm chapter 140 is where we're going to begin, and we're going to just take a brief look this morning. First of all, we find that David had confidence in God in time of danger. And there were many, many instances in David's life where his life was in danger. As a boy, we talked about this last week a little bit, he killed the bear, he killed the lion when he was watching his father's sheep. Later, he killed the giant Goliath. Much later, he fought the battles of the nation of Israel, first for King Saul, and later after he became king himself. And he was in danger by his own family when Absalom revolted against him. He was in danger in all different places, deserts and caves and all different places that he had to run and hide. And so he had this confidence in God in time of danger. Psalm 140, let's pick up at verse number 1. And it says this, David prays a great prayer. He says, Rescue me, O Lord, from evil men. Protect me from men of violence, who devise evil plans in their hearts, in their minds, and they stir up war every day. They make their tongues as sharp as a serpent's. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Protect me from men of violence who plan to trip my feet. Proud men have hidden a snare for me. They have spread out the cords of their net and have set traps for me along my path. And he closes with this in verses 6 and 7. I love it. He says, O Lord, I say to you, you are my God. Can you say that this morning, that the Lord is your God, that you know him in a real intimate way and you're in relationship with him this morning? David could say that. He says, "Oh Lord, you are my God. So hear, oh Lord, my cry for mercy. Oh sovereign Lord, my strong deliverer, who shields my head in the day of battle." David had many battles that he had to fight, but he knew that God was his deliverer. He told the giant Goliath, he says, "You come against me with your sword and your spear, all your weapons, but I come to you in the name of the Lord my God." And he's the one that's going to allow me to chop off your head today and feed you to the birds of the air. I'm going to defeat you today because the Lord is my strength, my song, and my deliverer. He shields my head in the day of battle. I don't know what you might be battling this morning, wherever you might be, but God is your deliverer. He's your refuge. He's your high tower. He's the one that you can run to. And the word says we can cast all of our care upon him because he cares for us. He is our shield in the day of battle. Well, secondly, David also had a hunger for righteousness. He had a real hunger for righteousness. Psalm 141, and we pick up at verse number 1 again. David is praying again. He says, "O Lord, I call to you. Come quickly to me." Man, there's times in life when we need God to come real quick. You know, we need an answer real soon. We can't really wait. We can't really delay. We need a touch of God right now. And David was in one of those situations. He says, "Oh Lord, I call to you, so come quickly to me. Hear my voice when I call to you. May my prayer be set before you like incense." I love that. The Bible says that our prayers that rise up to heaven are like incense, and that they're stored in heaven. Our prayers are kept. God stores those prayers in heaven. I wonder how big of a container each of us has in heaven of stored prayers. And then there's another container, a bottle the Bible talks about, that keeps our tears there. How many tears that we've cried, how many tears we've shed while we're on this planet. I wonder what size bottle we have in that regard. How many tears have we shed for unsafe family or friends or loved ones? Those things are so important. And so David says, "May my prayer be set before you like incense. May my prayers rise before your throne. And may you just inhale every prayer. May you breathe in every cry of my heart. And let it be that way as those prayers go up." And then he says, "May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice." The Bible talks about us worshiping the Lord with raised hands, giving him thanks, worshiping and praising him with uplifted hands. And so David says, "May the lifting up of my hands be just like the evening sacrifice." He's saying, you know, maybe I don't have an animal for the evening sacrifice today. I'm on the run. I'm in a cave. I'm in the desert. I don't have something to sacrifice to you this evening. But you know what? I'm going to offer the sacrifice of praise. My hands being raised to you, worshiping you, are like the evening sacrifice. I love that. And then he says in verse 3, "Set a guard over my mouth." How many times have I asked the Lord to put a guard over my mouth? Because a word that you speak, it can't be retracted. Once it comes out, I mean, it's out there. And the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart or the mind, the mouth speaks, right? And so we have to be careful what we speak, what we allow to come out of our lips. And he tells us about avoiding foolish talk, about avoiding coarse joking, improper language. And so he says, "Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips." Before I ever enter this pulpit, Sunday after Sunday, all these years that we've been here, I always pray in my office, "Lord, don't let me speak not one word that I'm not supposed to speak, but may I speak every word that you do want me to speak. Give me the boldness and the anointing to do that." I pray that every Sunday before coming out here. And so he says, "Keep watch over the door of my lips." And then verse 4, "Let not my heart, my mind be drawn to what is evil." So important that we guard our thoughts, that we cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against our knowledge of God, and that we bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So important that our hearts, our minds, are not drawn to what is evil. Young people especially, all of us really, but young people especially, guard your thoughts. Guard what you think, because what you think is what you're going to become. What you keep thinking about, what you let your mind stay on, a train of thought, a vein of thought, that's what you're going to become. The more you allow your brain to stay there, think about that, that's how people get hooked on pornography and stuff like that, is because that's where their mind always goes to that, and you'll get yourself in trouble. And so he says, don't let my mind be drawn to what is evil, to take part in wicked deeds. Before it ever becomes a deed, it's a thought. Before it's ever an action, it's a thought. And so we have to guard those thoughts. And then he says, don't let me take part in wicked deeds with men who are evildoers. Let me not eat of their delicacies. The devil is the master deceiver. When the disciples asked the Lord, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end? The first thing he said, no sign, but he said this, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. And so here, David is saying, don't let me hang with these evildoers and don't let me eat of their delicacies. I don't want to partake of those types of activities, is what David is saying. You and I need to have that same heart that David had, to shun evil, to turn away from it, and not partake of what the enemy offers. Because the enemy of our soul is out to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's his job. He's never going to stop doing that. Steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. God wants to bless us with an abundant life, but he wants us to eat from his table, God's table, not from the table of the enemy. And so then third, David exhibited a transparent honesty before God. I love that about David. He made a lot of mistakes. He sinned big time. He committed adultery. After that, he committed murder to try to cover it up. He was a bad dude in some of those instances. But he exhibited a transparent honesty before God. And in Psalm 51, he prays a great prayer asking God to forgive him for what he did. He said, Lord, it's you really that I've sinned against. And he just poured out his heart to God. And he prayed that great prayer, search me, O God, cleanse me, O God, wash me, O God. David was so hurt by the sin that he had committed. So he had this transparency before God. And so let's look at Psalm 142, and we're going to begin at verse number 1 there. Again, David's in a tough place. He's out in a cave again, running from Saul, and he prays this prayer. He says, I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. Anytime David ever messed up, anytime he ever sinned and failed God, he always cried out to God for mercy, for forgiveness. And then he says in verse 2, I pour out my complaint before him. So it's okay for us to complain to God once in a while. God can take it. God can handle it. Tell him what you like. Tell him what you don't like. Tell him when you're happy. Tell him when you're sad. Talk to him when things are going great. Talk to him when things are falling apart. But pour out your complaint to God. He knows right where you are. He knows your point of need. He knows your hurt. He knows your grief. He knows your pain from the losses of your life. And so pour out your complaint before him. And he says, in fact, before him, I tell my trouble. Whatever troubles you, troubles God. I love that. We talked about having a heart after God where what troubles him troubles us. But the vice versa is true. What troubles us troubles God because he loves us so much. And so he says, I tell you my trouble. Verse 3, when my spirit grows faint within me. I don't know about you, but all of this stuff that we've been going through all these months and that we're still in the middle of right now, it's draining, isn't it? Do you find yourself just so frustrated sometimes and, man, I just wish this was over? as I talk to people outside these walls, everybody's saying, man, I just wish it was over. I just wish we could get back to normal. And whatever normal might be in the future, we don't know. But he says, when my spirit grows faint within me, it is you, Father, it's you, God, that knows my way. We have a Father in heaven that's the ultimate dad, the ultimate parent, and he knows the way that we take. And when we've come forth through all this stuff of life, we're going to come forth like gold that's been tried in the fire. Our faith will be stronger. We'll be more connected to God than ever before because we run to him. We turn to him in times of need. We don't run from him. We run to him. Amen? And so when our spirit grows faint within us, it's God that knows our way. He knows where we are. He knows what we need. He knows when we need it. And my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. It's always in and through Christ Jesus. And then next, David had a good memory for God's past work. David could always reflect back, just like we talked about earlier. He could reflect back to a boy guarding his father's sheep and how God had helped him to deliver that flock of sheep from the bear and from the lion that David killed. He could reflect back and remember the day he fought Goliath, the day God gave that great victory. He could reflect back to the time when he messed up and he received God's forgiveness. He could remember the battles that he fought and that God had helped him to win. All those things David remembered. He would ponder those things. Last week we talked about in one of the Psalms how he, through the watches of the night one time, he prayed, he sought God. He was reflecting on the goodness of God in the past, what God had done for him, and it helped him to deal with the present. And so that's just so cool. So verse 5 of chapter 143 reflects this remembering God. And it says this, David says, I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works, the works that I just talked about, and consider, he says, I consider what your hands have done. David doesn't take credit of all those things, all those victories for himself. He said, I come against you in the name of the Lord. It's all about God. It's what God has done through me is what David is saying. But he remembered all those times, and that memory served him well in his present situation, whatever that situation might be. And so what about you? What about your present situation? Where are you hurting? What is your number one need? What keeps you awake at night that you're worried about, that you're stressed over? What would that be? Those of us here, those watching on YouTube, what's the number one thing in your life that you're struggling with right now? Turn it over to God. Remember his goodness in the past, and remember that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the ages. We serve a really, really good God. Then the next thing, David had a desire to see God's justice prevailed. David wanted things to be set right. There's one of the Psalms that talks about he wants to rid evildoers from the whole nation of Israel. He wants a godly people. He wants to rule a godly kingdom and people that love God and are serving God. And so he had this great desire to see God's justice prevail in his life and in the lives of his nation and the people of his nation. And so let's look at Psalm 144 there, and we're going to pick up at verse number 5. Psalm 144, verse 5, and it says this, David again praying, part your heavens, O Lord, and come down. I've been praying a lot recently, even so come, Lord Jesus. You know, just, Lord, just come. Just stop all this mess, catch us away to heaven, and we'll be done with all this. And David is kind of, he said, Lord, just part the heavens and you come down. Come down in our midst. Touch the mountains so that they smoke. Send forth lightning and scatter the enemies of God. Shoot your arrows and rout them. He's wanting God's justice to prevail. He's wanting God's judgment to come on evildoers and to rid them from the land. Then he says in verse 7, reach down your hand from on high, deliver me and rescue me from the mighty waters. He says, Lord, just reach down. He says, I know your hand is not too short. I know your ears are not too dull. I know your eyesight is not blurred. You see me. You can feel me. You can touch me. You're with me. And so he says, I want you to just reach down your hand from on high, and I ask you, Father, to deliver me and rescue me. Deliver me and rescue me. He had done that. God had done that for David so many times. And David's saying, Lord, just one more time. Just one more time. Deliver me and rescue me. I'm going to be sharing a series coming up on how God is our refuge, our rescuer, our redeemer, all these things that God is to us, and all of that through Christ. And so he says, not only deliver me and rescue me from the mighty waters, but also deliver me, rescue me from the hands of foreigners whose mouths are full of lies and whose right hands are deceitful. There were people in his kingdom that were trying to trick him, trying to deceive him, trying to destroy his kingdom from within. And he says, Lord, just protect me, rescue me, deliver me from the hands of these people. Their mouths are, they're telling stories, they're telling lies about me, stuff that's just not true. And they're always out, they're bent on being deceitful and harming and hurting. And he says, I want you to just rid the land of those types of people. And then finally, we come to the last one, Psalm 145. David expressed an overflowing praise to God, an overflowing praise to God. Psalm, the book of Psalms is 150 chapters. We believe that 75 of them, half of those Psalms, written by David. It's a powerful amount of Psalms. That many of them are songs that are sung, obviously, in worship and in the temple. And so he had this overflowing praise to God. And so I want us to pick that up in Psalm 145. It's a psalm of praise written by David. Verse 1 says, I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. I love that. The desire of David's heart was always to exalt God. He knew that God was his king. Even though David is king of Israel, he knows that the real king of Israel is God the Father. And he says, I exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day, I love that. Every day, I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. David doesn't want to ever stop doing that. If you ever get tired of praising God, you're going to hate heaven. You're going to hate heaven. If you get tired of praising God, you're just not going to enjoy heaven at all, because that's what we can do. That would be our chief work in heaven, is just worshiping God. Man, it'll be awesome. It's an unbelievable gift awaits us there. But the key there is every day, not just when you feel like it, not just when you want to, not just when you have to, but every day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice, and I'll be glad in it, regardless of my circumstances. Paul said, I've learned the secret of being content, regardless of what's going on around me. I haven't learned that secret yet. I'm better at it, but I'm not totally there. I don't think anybody on the planet is. But we strive for that perfection, right? We forget what's behind. We press on toward the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so every day, let's lift up the name of Jesus. Then he says in verse 3, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. When we think of the word worship, it's the worthiness, the worth-ship of the God that we serve. He is worthy of our worship. And so he says, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. The word says, our eyes have not seen, our ears have not heard. It's never entered our wildest imaginations, the things that God has prepared for those of us that love him. If you love God, there's a great gift waiting for you in heaven, and it's beyond our wildest expectations. A little bit further, skip down to verse number 8 of Psalm 145. David continues on this overflowing praise to God. He says there, the Lord is gracious and compassionate. I love that about God. He's gracious to us. God will graciously give us all things. But he's also a God of compassion. So many times in the Gospels, we see Jesus ministering to people, whether it's the woman at the well, whether it's the one at the pool of Bethesda that was healed, or whether it's the thousands that were fed, or the thousands that listened to the Sermon on the Mount. God, our God, is a God of compassion. The Bible says when Jesus looked at the multitudes, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he tells them, I am the good shepherd, and my sheep know my voice, and they follow me because they know me. That's where we need to get as a generation in this country. And so he goes on. Not only is the Lord gracious and compassionate, but he's also slow to anger and rich in love. Boy, I love that. Aren't you glad that God is not quick to anger? Aren't you glad that God is not quick to point out our faults? He's not quick to beat us over the head. He's not quick to judge us, but he's compassionate. He's long-suffering, and it says that he's slow to anger, but then he's also rich in love. There's a richness to God's love for us. It's something that we really can't comprehend, I don't think, fully, this side of heaven. But it's like the Holy Spirit. I think God's love is like a deposit that we sense for a little bit, and we sense to a degree, but not to the fullness until we get to heaven. I just kind of think that. You know, right now we look through a glass darkly, but one day we'll see face to face. We'll see the Father. We'll be able to behold him in all of his splendor, all of his glory. So he's slow to anger, he's rich in love. And then verse 9 says, the Lord is good to all. He's a good, good father. Remember that chorus? He's a good, good father. He loves us. And he has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. When we gather together to worship, that's why we start off every service with music, with singing. Because the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord and God inhabits the praises of his people. So we open up with that every time because it just draws the presence of God into our midst. We know where two or three gather together. He's there. He says that. But he also is drawn when people worship him, when the saints extol his greatness, how wonderful that God really is. That moves the heart of God and it draws him into our midst. And then as we close out this morning, a few verses left in Psalm 145, drop down to verse number 13. It says this, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. There's been a lot of kingdoms on this world. There's been a lot of empires, you know, the Greeks, the Medes, the Romans, all kinds of different empires, you know. But there's one kingdom that's an everlasting kingdom, and that's the kingdom of heaven. That your kingdom, God's kingdom, is an everlasting kingdom. And your dominion, God's dominion, endures through all generations. There's never going to be anyone that's going to usurp the authority or the kingdom of God. No one will ever do that. All the plans of the enemy, the Bible says that I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God has a plan for his church and for his people. His kingdom, his dominion endures through all generations. And then the Lord is faithful to all his promises. Don't you love that? All the promises in this book, from Genesis to Revelation, all those promises are there for us to stand on, for us to claim in prayer, believing God, trusting God for. He's faithful to all of his promises, and he's loving toward all he has made. God loves us all the same. God has no stepchildren. He has, no kind of child, but just sons and daughters. Sons and daughters, you know. And he loves us all the same. He doesn't love anyone more than the other. He doesn't love anyone less than the other. He loves us all the same. We're all precious in the sight of the Lord. He's loving toward all he's made. Verse 14, the Lord upholds all those who fall. Even when we mess up, even when we make a mistake, God is there to lift us up. Even when we mess up and we make lemons of our lives, God specializes in making lemonade. Amen? And so he upholds us even when we fall, and he lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. The Bible says, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. What are you hungry for this morning? Are you hungry for more of God, more time to pray, more time in the Word, more time like this in his house together? What are you hungry for? He says that if you're hungry, he's going to feed us. He'll give them their food at the proper time. Then you open your hand and you satisfy the desires of every living thing. You open your hand and you satisfy the desires of every living thing. That's not just human, but it's animal life, everything that has breath. David says, everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. That's how he closes out the book in Psalm 150. And so it's so important that we do that. But he satisfies the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. The Bible says that he wants people to worship him in spirit and in truth. And when we pray, he wants us to pray truth. Just tell it like it is. Just tell it like it is. Don't try to soft soap it. Don't try to pray a bunch of these and thous and whithersoever's. Just talk. Just talk to God like you're talking to a friend, you know? Just be yourself when you talk to God, you know? And he will hear and he will answer. He's near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. And then I love this in verse 19. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. Those of us that reverence him, that stand in awe of him, he will hear and he will bless and he will fulfill all of our desires. He hears their cry and he saves them. It's one thing for someone to hear you ask for something, but it's something else if someone comes through and meets the need. God says, I hear you and I'm going to save you. I'm going to get you out of that mess. I'm going to bring you forth. You're going to come forth victorious, and you will be blessed. So I really appreciate all these characteristics that we've talked about this morning about David. And the daily walk concludes with this statement. Because David had seen God's care over his life in the past, his faith is fortified to look for God's provision in the future. I love that. Say that again. Because David had seen God's care over his life in the past, his faith is fortified to look for God's provision in the future. Question this morning is, can you say the same? Your past knowledge and relationship with God, does that fortify your faith to trust him for the future? It's something to think about. And another question for all the dads here this morning, are you a man after God's own heart? Do you see some of those characteristics in your life that we talked about that are in David's life? And if not, God can help each one of us to do better, to be better, and to turn those things around in our lives. And so, Father, this morning, as we close this service, Lord, here in this building and for those watching as well on YouTube this morning, I pray for every dad that you would meet every need, that you would touch every dad, every granddad. God, move in a powerful way in each one of their lives. God, we're just believing you for your touch upon every family. Lord, upon dads, upon moms, upon every parent. Lord, upon every household that's represented, Lord, listening, watching today. Lord, I pray an anointing, God, to rest upon those households, Father. Oh, God, meet every need, meet every need. Move in a powerful way. Lord, help us, Lord, that know you, to make a new commitment, a fresh commitment to you. Lord, to just totally sell out to you, to just abandon ourselves to you. casting all of our care upon you because we know that you care for us. Lord, maybe there's some this morning that don't know you as their Savior. They've not been in that relationship that we've talked about with you as of yet. Or maybe they were once in that place, but maybe they strayed away, and maybe the lifestyle they're living now they know is not pleasing to you. Well, Father, just draw them back. Bring them back. Lord, touch every person, not just men, not just dads, but every person, older, younger, God, teenagers, young adults, Lord, whatever age, Lord, we want to be in relationship with you. We want to be men and women after your heart. Oh, God, we want you to use us, God, for your glory. We want you to touch us where we are. Lord, heal the hurts. Lord, minister to the needs. Lord, be the encourager of our hearts. Be the lifter of our heads. Be the health and the joy of our countenances. And so, Father, for those that want you, Lord, to come into their heart and life today, Lord, I pray that they would do that this morning. You said if we confess our sin, you'd be faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You did it for David. You can do it for us. You're no respecter of persons. And so, Father, do that this morning. Draw men and women and young people to you. Touch every heart. Touch every life. Meet every need. God, we thank you. And once again, especially, we pray for every dad that's watching this morning, God, that you would just help them to be strong and godly men. Oh, God, that you would just restore our very souls, restore the joy of our salvation. And God, just meet every need that's represented. And we give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Guys, God bless you. We're so thankful that you were with us this morning, watching today. We pray a blessing again upon every dad this morning, every family that's watching. Be safe out there. We love you guys, and take care. God bless you.